If you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to the book of John, chapter 15, and we are going to be picking up our thought in verse 18, and we're going to read down through verse 21. John 15, verse 18 through 21. And here the Lord says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." Brother Terry, would you ask the blessing upon this word, brother?
Father, thank you for this time that we can gather, for you are worthy over everything. Lord, we pray that your spirit be felt among us. Lord, we invite you. Lord, we ask for your anointing to be upon Pastor Carey as he brings the gospel of truth. And this we ask in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Again, if the world loves you, I think that we need to do what Paul told the Corinthians to do. You need to do a little self-examination. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified." What disqualifies you from being a follower of Jesus Christ? What disqualifies you is when you begin to act like the world. And people don't see Christ in you any longer. They see the world. You know, and so the Lord doesn't want you to live a reprobate life. He wants you to live a life that is reflective of who his son is. You know, and so it's important that you understand these things. The Apostle Paul told young Timothy that one thing that you can surely expect if you're walking the way that you should be walking as a Christian is persecution. And then he tells him how he could rise above it as well. And that's what I want you to really kind of focus in on this morning is how, you know, if you're a believer, you're going to receive persecution. If you say, "I love Jesus," to people are going to go, "Oh, get away from me," and you know, won't have anything to do with you. May even try to cause you to lose your job. You know, I'll just share with my experience. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I played a lot of sports. And I played fast pitch softball, slow pitch softball. And I remember that I was always asked to play, you know, and do things. But after I got saved, nobody wanted me to play on their team anymore, you know. That's the kind of persecution I experienced, you know. And the same thing's true when it comes to working on the job, you know. If you're talking about Jesus all the time, people kind of put up a red flag and they go, "Oh man, I don't want to be around you," because that name makes them uncomfortable. To those that believe, that name is the most beautiful name there is. But to those who don't believe, it's the smell of death, the scripture says, because it makes them realize that there's something wrong inside, you know. But he says to Timothy, he says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And then he tells us that evil men and imposters, and this is one of the areas that we're going to talk about too, is imposters. There's the religious aspect that's out there today that aren't truly believers. But it says they're going to grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them." And I think it's important to surround yourself with godly men and women who know the Word of God and teach the Word of God. And they're teaching sound doctrine. And it says, "And from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, that's how you rise above the persecution that comes against you. You know what the Word of God has to say. As David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So he started this chapter. Jesus started the chapter in John chapter 15 talking about the vine, if you recall. And he is the vine, we are the branches. And he spoke about the importance of abiding in him. How do you abide in Jesus? You abide in his word.
Amen.
It's his word. In the verses, again, that we just studied in John 15, he introduces us to the hatred of this lost world. And we can expect that to come against us because they don't belong to him. And they are of the wicked one. They are the ones that the Bible says they are influenced by the wicked one. That what does that mean? That you hate them? No, absolutely not. You pray for them, you love them, and hopefully they can recover themselves from that snare of the devil themselves. If we're not abiding as branches and obeying as friends of the Lord, again, we're never going to be able to face opposition and not have difficulty because you can't do it on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to go through the difficulties that's going to come through persecution. Remember Jesus' words to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when they found that they couldn't even keep their eyes open long enough to pray with him. That's one of the most difficult things we had to do is pray. And he said to them in Matthew 26 and 41, he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I remember hearing Brother Horton preaching about this one time, how that he felt so discouraged and he went home to pray. And as he was praying, he fell asleep and he woke up just feeling even more defeated because he didn't even have the strength to pray. And then the Holy Spirit fed him that night, just spoke to his heart, you know, and made him realize that he's there. He's there all the time. And he understands our weaknesses. He understands our weaknesses and he knows that we can't do it on our own. We need the Lord's strength. That's why the Bible says you are complete in him. He is what you need him to be. He helps you through every situation of life, especially if you will allow the Holy Spirit to do so. But a lot of times we allow our flesh nature to intervene and take control. And when we do that, we make a mess of things. Then we come running back to the Lord and we say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. And you know what the Lord does? He forgives us. But if we continue to do it, you know what he does? He chastens us as his child. So it's so important for us to learn these lessons here, you know, and we got to watch and pray, at least we enter into temptation. One of the most difficult things for us to do is to pray. And folks, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face those that will hate you because you belong to Jesus, because you bear his name. They hate the name. They don't want anything to do with it. I know what this is like because I was that one who did that very thing at one time. I didn't want to be around Christians. I didn't want to hear about Jesus. I didn't believe in it. I thought, oh, the Bible's just written by men. You know, just I say a lot of stuff out of ignorance. But then I met the King. I had a personal encounter with him that I know that I know that I know that he is. Amen. And he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has given me the gift to be able to teach the Word of God and to be able to do things I could have never done, you know, before. You can ask Natalie. She can tell you. She can tell you. I didn't have the ability to talk to people. Nathan was sharing in Sunday school how we said the number one fear people have, you know what it is? Public speaking. Public speaking. And I tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit to help me to be able to share, not only here, but the Rescue Mission and other churches and things like that I go to, I couldn't do it. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that he's there to help me to do so because I want to fulfill God's will in my life. See, this is the thing of how you know that you're right with God, because your desire inside, your desire is to please God. Now, you're going to have warring against your old flesh all the time, that desire to please and satisfy your old flesh. But it tells us that we need to walk in the Spirit and we won't desire fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to mention that one in just a minute here. So, in John 15 and 5, again, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You can't do it without the Lord. I mean, you know, if we don't love one another, I mean, how can we have a hope of loving those who are lost, the, the men and women in this world that are lost into the kingdom of God. You can't do it. When we love one another, it also presents a united front before the enemy that I think is like a barricade or a wall that the enemy can't easily penetrate. The truth is, in our flesh, we are just not only handicapped and hindered, we're hopelessly paralyzed when it comes to facing the enemy. And unless we have the Holy Spirit there to help us to be able to overcome the accusations that come against us, you know, we can't stand. But if we follow Jesus' example, whenever he had accusations and things come against him constantly, what did he do? He didn't open his mouth. He didn't respond. He did not sin, you see. And he allowed himself to suffer himself to be defrauded from trying to justify himself in so many ways. But then there were other times where he spoke boldly and he just simply told them the truth. And this is one of the reasons why he was so hated, because he simply told people the truth. If we abide in him, we stay close to his throne, we can do everything that he commands us to do. This is what Paul understood, and this is why he would say to the Philippians in Philippians 4:13, I know a lot of people, and a lot of sports people have this as one of their favorite scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it is so true, folks. Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples for what was coming, because in just a few hours, these religious leaders of Israel are going to be coming, condemning their Messiah. And they're going to be calling for his blood. And the Lord spent a lot of time trying to instruct them about the time that there would be a day of persecution that would come against even them. He actually mentioned this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. And again, take note of this. If you don't mind underlining this Bible, I encourage you to underline this in your Bible. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now I know a lot of times people think, well, I just wish I could see what was the reward, what's waiting for. This is where faith comes in. You believe God. God said, great is your reward. He said it. I believe it. And I accept it. And I expect it. Because I know one thing my God can't do. He can't lie.
That's right.
Amen? So what Jesus' answer to all of this was, though, you find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. It's not easy to do, is it? Not if you're doing it in the flesh, but in the spirit, all things are possible. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you have more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, as far as I can see, there's only been one perfect person in this world, and that's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we are complete in him. And the only way that you can be perfect is through Jesus. But I encourage you to allow him to live his life in and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he commissioned them to go and preach to the lost sheep of Israel. But he warned them that they would receive persecution. In Matthew 10, verse 16 through 28, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Folks, as you leave here today, you're going out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Understand that. Therefore, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how that you will speak, for it will be given you what in that hour what you would speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And again, he's talking about the early church, but I think it resonates all the way down to where we are in this time of history. Now, brothers will deliver a brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. But you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Enduring that persecution. When they persecute you in the city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And again, so that kind of gives the indication is to not only the disciples, but to all. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his house, of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will be not be made known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Now, this is where, again, this is kind of here where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, for us. You know, when God tells you to speak something, you speak it out in the light for people to know. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body, soul and body in hell. Now that kind of says it all, doesn't it? So it tells us that speak boldly, preach boldly, and don't fear those who can kill the body, but after that they can do nothing. You know, Jesus even rebuked these religious Pharisees and openly told them that, you know, they would persecute those who would be sent to them. And I just want to share this in passing and show you what Jesus dealt with them. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all of these things will come upon this generation. But folks, we got to realize that until the Lord returns or until we die, we must live in a hostile world where we will face persecution and oppression because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And again, the only way that we can do this and the secret to the victory of all of this is by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that works, moves through us. I heard somebody talking this morning about vitamins, how that, you know, that if you take, for example, zinc and quercetin, that zinc is like the bullet, quercetin is like the gun that shoots it into your cells so that it helps you, keep you immune from different things, you know. But I think about, you know, the Word of God. The Word of God is the bullet and the Holy Spirit is the gun who shoots that into our hearts and helps us become immune to the effects of the enemy coming into our lives and disrupting us. We can do all things through Christ. So in verse 22 through 25 it says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You wonder sometimes, why do people hate me so bad? Because I'm a follower of Christ. It's because they hate the Father. They hate the Son. You know, they are walking as children of darkness. They're walking as the children of the wicked one, you see. So Jesus said that those who reject him and demonstrate it through their persecution of other believers are without excuse for their sin. Those who believe the gospel, this is the best news ever for us today when we hear the gospel. We know we have eternal life. And you know, it should be something that causes great joy in our hearts on a continual basis. And you wonder, why would God reconcile us and forgive us? We feel like such a wretch at times because I think the closer you get to the Lord, that's what happens. You feel, I don't feel much like I'm a very righteous, holy person. Well, indeed, you are not in and of yourself, But Jesus makes you righteous. He gives you righteous standing before the Father. But to reject that gospel is the very worst news that an unrepentant heart will ever hear. Not only does the unrepentant have no excuse for the common sins that they have, but they've committed the worst, most awful sin of all in that they've rejected Jesus and the Father also. Both Jesus came and spoke the words of the Father on the earth and to reveal him to us. And all excuses pass away, and all that's left is a fear of eternal condemnation that remains. Hatred for Jesus and believers is not only sown by those who live ungodly, but again, like I said, by those who, you know, are religious in pretense. And there are plenty of those out there today. Some of them, the worst persecutors of the true church, were religious. Do you realize that? In John 16:2, it says, "They will put you out of the synagogues, yes, and the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." Let me read that from the Amplified Version. "They will put you out of the synagogues and make you outcasts. And the time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's offering service to God." In 1 Peter 1, 22 through 23, it says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which abides forever." When you preach the word of God, when you teach the word of God, because you've been born of the word of God, there are people out there who are simply religious. They don't study the word of God. They got rituals and they got traditions and things like that they practice. And they persecute because they don't know the word of God. Did you know that one time the Catholic Church, for example, made it illegal to even read the Bible? They persecuted people who read the Bible. William Tinsdale was an English biblical scholar who translated and printed the Bible into English so that people could read it for themselves. Guess what happened to him? He was called a heretic, and he was strangled, and then he was burned at the stake. All because he printed the Bible, which was in Latin, into English. Now, Jesus simply told the religious Jews of his time the truth. You tell the religious people today the truth, and they get upset. They get all pushed out of shape. John 8, verse 45 through 47 says, "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you were not of God." That's how you tell who's of God and who's not. You know, my wife doesn't like me to use this saying, but there is a saying that says, not everything that glitters is gold. You know, that's what you got to understand about religion. The Pharisees hated Jesus because he told them the truth. And sometimes he told them the truth and it did not settle well with them. And a lot of people would say today that, oh, well, you don't share that. That's hatred, you know. You know how Jesus called them fools. He called them fools. He called them whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. He called them hypocrites in the scripture. 6 times he called them hypocrites. And then he called them children of hell. He called them blind, whitewashed tombs, and he called them brood of vipers. He's talking to the religious. And then he told them that their father was the devil. Again, which of those things were untrue? Nothing. It was all the truth. When you stand for the truth and you speak the truth, probably the most loving thing you can do is tell people how it is. We as Christians are being accused of being hateful. And sometimes because they assume that, according to their way of interpreting things, that we are not Christian. For example, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, our current administration declared what was called Trans Awareness Day. And of course, to those who are true believers and understand what the Word of God has to say about these things, this was blasphemous and this was unholy. Amen. But to the liberal media, they'd taken the ball and run with it. And they said that Jesus died for all people, even trans people, to which I would say, you are right. He died for all. The Bible says Jesus died for all. But he also called people to repent. There are two types of repentance. Again, the foundational one, which is to go from not believing in Jesus to believing in him. And the second one is that the one which builds God's character within you and the works that God desires for you to do. It's called repentance from dead works. In other words, Jesus didn't save you so that you can continue in your sin. And he certainly does not want you to celebrate your sin. Trans Awareness or Recognition Day, whatever they want to call it, why not say Adulterers Awareness Day or Pedophile Recognition Day or something like that? Again, if you tell people the truth, though, that want to celebrate sin, they get very angry with you and say that you're unloving, that you were unholy. But that's not the way it is. When you tell people the truth, sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? And the reason why they get angry is because they do not know God's word. They have not rightly divided the word of God. They have not studied the word of God. When it comes to sin, listen to Romans 6, verse 6 through 16. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God, living to God, to please God. You see? Likewise, now here it is, likewise you, that means me, you, every believer who calls upon the name of the Lord, likewise you also, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It's not fitting for somebody who's under grace to continue to live in sin. It's just not fitting. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He says, certainly not. God didn't save you so that you can continue in sin.
Right.
Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death? That's what sin will do. It leads to death. Or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, if you watch the news concerning all this, you see some of these news anchors that I always get worried when I see them quoting scripture. They'll quote scripture out of context and try to legitimize things that are sin, for example. And again, the true church is being persecuted. And again, as a result, they try to stop the voice of the church through censorship. They're trying to stop anything that has to do with what's right and trying to promote that which is wrong. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 clearly says, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Notice that word, not, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. And there are a lot of people who are being deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, and such were, past tense, some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, and in 2 Corinthians 1 and 7 and 1, I believe these go together. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Always remember that, folks. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, again, we're going to see what that therefore is there for. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then go into verse 1, it says, therefore, again, you can see what that therefore is for. Therefore, having these promises, promise from God, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the spirit, of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now I ask you this morning, are you doing that? Are you perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Or are you under that mindset, I'm under grace, I can do whatever I want to do and still be right with God? You need to rethink things if that's your mindset. 1 John 3:7-13 says, little children, let no one deceive you. There's those words again about deception. There's people who are out there who are religious, are trying to deceive people. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, his word, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. See, you can tell, again, when somebody hates you, because the Bible says when you hate somebody, it's like wanting to commit murder, you know? You know what spirit they're of. But at the same time, we've got to be very careful not to allow ourselves to begin to think, oh, well, I don't like that person. I want to see them ran over by a Mack truck, you know? You know, we can't be thinking like that as a Christian, because we're called to love even our enemies. Again, why does the world hate you? Because you tell them the truth and you stand in the truth. But as I said before, you can't do it on your own. That's why the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit in verse 26-27. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. In John 15:26, all three persons of the Godhead are mentioned here. Jesus the Son will send the Holy Spirit from the Father. And because the Holy Spirit is a person and he is God, it means that a Christian has God dwelling in his body. If we have the Spirit of God within us, you know, we can do all things. If you do not, you won't be able to serve the Lord in this present world. You'll succumb to it. As a Christian, we are to make that decision to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5:25-26 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit, and let us not be conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. And we are to worship the Lord in the Spirit. In Philippians 3:2-3 it says, beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation. These were the legalists, the circumcision. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. My flesh has done nothing but cause me problems. I don't know about you guys. And we are to witness in the Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Christians can't stand and can't withstand in the midst of the world's hatred, because if they don't have the Holy Spirit, because of the weakness of our flesh. God had called his disciples to allow themselves to be filled with his power, his presence, and his word, so that they would be equipped for the fight that they were going to fight. The Bible tells us that we are in a battle, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to view it like that. And we need to speak the word of God in love. Ephesians 4:14-15 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of the doctrine, by the trickery of men. And of course, I experienced this. I'm sure you experienced this as I was a young Christian, heard all these different doctrines, things like that. But I got into the word of God, read it for myself. And there's men who are trusted that I believe that have the Holy Spirit who've taught me things that have led me to where I am. It says, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There are people who are using deceitful plotting and saying deceitful things to convince things of the scriptures that just are not true. But it says, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. In other words, you've got to speak the truth even though it offends people. But you do so in love. Jesus always spoke the word in love. And he wants us to speak the word in love. But he wants us to speak above all, you know? And I think it's important that we realize that we're to use what God has given us as he's filled us with the Holy Spirit to equip us and given us power for service. There's a bodybuilder who was visiting an African tribe, and the tribal chief was just amazed at his physique. And so the tribal chief asked the muscle builder, what do you do with all those muscles? And the bodybuilder said, well, it's probably easier to show you than to explain. So he began a different, you know, posing down, you know, showing his muscles, his triceps and all that. And, his back and the obliques and everything that was involved with the muscles. And after the presentation, the chief priest said, or the chief tribal chief said, no, that's pretty impressive. But I have a second question. What else do you do with those muscles? Well, the bodybuilder said, that's pretty much it. I work out to pose. And the African chief said, what a waste. What a waste. Many Christians work out only to pose. They don't work out to use their muscles that they've developed. They carry their Bibles, and then during praise service, they raise their hands and praise the Lord. They absorb the word of God in the sermon. Only when they leave the church, they never use what they've learned. The truth makes you spiritually strong. The question for you today is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to waste it? Or are you going to put it to work? Amen? That's one question I want to pose to you today. And believe me, I'm preaching to the choir here. It's for all of us. All right, let's bow our heads for a moment.